Log Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a special episode here of the Spence Radio Inside Edition, where we bring back our good friend Spencer Carstairs all the way from England to talk to us about what the heck is going on with the royal wedding. As you know, Spencer is the author of Someone to Watch Over Me, the fictional book of the behind-the-scenes kind of royal wedding and how things could happen, Princess Diana, Prince Charles, the whole shebang of what's going on. So we are pleased to bring Spencer back here for this 30-minute like what we call Inside Edition. So time to go to sit back, relax, because we are rolling. On the radio because of the British Insider, and he is the author of Someone to Watch Over Me, a book that is available through where all ebooks are sold. You can find it out there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all over the place. I should love some Beatles up here when he comes on, some good English bands, because he's coming all the way over from the pond. It is a 7-hour difference here from LA time over there. So, Spencer, it is great to have you back on. And we know we got some great insight. We were talking a little off air. We've been exchanging emails back and forth. We felt this was a great time because we got some great information going on. What stuff can you tell us right now that's happening that the American public does not know but should need to know? The true story.
Right. Well, good morning, John. The invitations have gone out by royal invitation only. This whole thing is divided into three sections. 1,900 people have been asked to the service in the Abbey, 600 for the lunch, and 300 for the dinner in the evening, which is mainly the friends of William and Kate, and hosted by the Prince of Wales. And if any of their friends are drinkers, they may be a little merry by the time they get to the dinner.
I'd probably say they're all a little bit drinkers. That's just my guess.
I would say so. Usually,
yeah.
Now we've got a whole list, of course, of royal invitations, which are to be expected, and various save the dates. Faxes have been sent out to people like Emperor Akihito of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's coming or not, we don't know. I don't think that President Obama and Michelle have been asked. I don't know why not.
Right.
And there are some notable omissions. For example, Sarah, who was the wife, as you know, the Duke of York, Sarah Ferguson. And this is the sort of curiosity of all this business. She is the mother of Princess Beatrice and Princess Eugenie, and they are fifth and sixth in line for the throne. And the mother isn't invited.
Wow.
Another whole...
What goes into that? What goes into that? Why would you admit you know, somebody like that. I just don't understand why that would happen.
Well, maybe they think she's going to wear a T-shirt headed Weight Watchers or something.
True, that's right. I forgot about that.
She's all about grabbing the opportunity, is she? With 2 billion audience.
She's not. Yeah.
Very enterprising girl. So the next problem is what you might call the plus ones.
Right.
A relative of mine has rung me up, and she's been asked on her own. Well, in this day of political correctness, you expect partners to be invited as well. Well,
mm-hmm.
partners have not been invited. You have to be married. And I told this lady, whatever she does, don't query it, because they'll very rapidly uninvite her.
Right.
But otherwise, the royals who are left in Europe will be coming. You've got a Crown Prince Alexander of Serbia, who's the Queen's godson. There are various, like King Constantine of Greece, who was displaced years ago and lives up in Hampstead. His wife, Queen Anne Marie, their oldest son, they hang on to the titles, even though they've lost the estates and the crown. King Michael of Romania, royal houses of Spain, Holland, Norway, Sweden. An interesting guy who does come is Simeon Saxe-Coburg, who is a relation. He was the son, or is the son, of King Boris of Bulgaria, who's one of the unsung heroes of the last war, because he, in fact, saved 50,000 Jews from the death camp in Auschwitz.
Wow.
And stood up to Hitler on his own, died in very mysterious circumstances 4 days after his last stormy encounter with Hitler. His son, Simeon, of course the country was communist for 50 years, and Simeon went back, formed his own political party, and as Mr. Simeon Saxe-Coburg, won a general election. And he will be coming, and he's regarded as family, you know.
Right.
So these links go across Europe, and it will be a some setting. I mean, the abbey itself, as many of your listeners will know, goes back for 1,000 years, and the dean, a certain very Reverend Dr. John Hall, is going to conduct the service. The Archbishop of Canterbury conducts the marriage. Now, here we come to another interesting point. Is Kate going to promise to obey? That's the traditional wording of the service. Dinah did not promise to obey. So that's one where we don't know. Watch this space. Also on hand at the Abbey will be 2 choirs, 1 orchestra, and 2 fanfare teams from the Royal Air Force.
Right.
There's an address by a suitably pompous bishop called Richard Church, who's got a voice like a sergeant major. So he'll be giving the address. She goes by car. After the service, they go by coach back to Buckingham Palace. She's slimming down. You know, last time we talked, about her. Showed a good appetite when she had a lunch
right.
with Camilla. When she
right.
went through
foie
gras
doing
and sea bass and ice cream. She's now gone over to the Dukan diet, D-U-K-A-N diet, which is said to be used by Nicole Kidman. And I don't know what you eat with that, lean meat, fish, and
sure.
no dairy products. Drink water, tea, and coffee, you know. Anyway,
yep.
She is slimmed down, and she does look terrific.
Okay.
it's already opening up issues of the Constitution. We've talked a bit about
that's something that's very interesting, because I want to get into the, you know, what makes, you know, because this is pretty much the wedding of the century. I mean, you're not going to have one that's going to be as popular as this is going to be.
No, but, that's right.
But what is the controversy, and why, you know, the behind-the-scenes kind of controversy that's brewing, whether it's with the Queen, whether it's with, you know, and who's Kate's mom, and these kinds of things, because Kate is not from, you know, I guess you want to say in English, she's like a commoner. Is that what you would call her?
Yes, she is indeed. She's not out of the top drawer. She's
right.
Not blue-blooded like Diana. And, you know, I think the vast majority of the British people are delighted that she's there and getting married. But the courtiers aren't. I mean, the courtiers don't forgive that she is very middle class. And a number of stories have been put about, such as her mother's supposed howler when she greeted the Queen with "pleased to meet you" instead of saying "how do you do?" And the family have been caught in a rather awkward media no man's land. They haven't been able to talk to the press. There were stories that the pushy Mrs. Middleton told her daughter to switch her choice of universities to St. Andrews when she discovered Prince William was going there.
Right.
That, again, is probably fiction. But they are... the father was a steward on British Airways. Nothing wrong with that. He met his future wife, Carol, Kate's mother, in the mid-70s. And she was a builder's daughter from south of Middlesex and their stewardess. And the couple bought a very modest Victorian semi-detached place near Reading, and it was from there that they'd started a business called Party Pieces. It's a children's party wear business.
Okay.
And it was really quite successful, but it's not considered by some of the courtiers to be an ideal background for a future Queen of England.
Now, hold on one second. So now, when you say the courts, explain to Americans that, you know, are listening that might not understand, when you say the court, what exactly is the court?
Well, it's the royal family have got a term which they use to describe their operations. They talk about the firm.
Okay.
And that is essentially the Queen and Prince Philip and Prince Charles and their descendants. But there are all sorts of hangers-on. Let's take the... The invitations, for example, go out from a gentleman known as the Lord Chamberlain, and there are dozens of these servants and flunkies. And I've been down at Windsor Castle. Prince Andrew plays golf, and you know there's a whole retinue of people at Windsor Castle, which is the Queen's home. There are the people who guard the place, the police. There are the servants who man the gates and let in the public. And there are the in-house people who are sort of valets. And if you stay there, you have the valet unpacks for you. You know, Charles is said to have his toothpaste squeezed on his toothbrush by his valet. You know, there are a lot of... servants around, so you've got all of that, and then attached to them are various sort of grace and favour He's like the master of the horse, an ancient titles with non-jobs, almost a bit like the court of Louis the 14th. It's a good deal more business-like than it was, but you know, there is still a lot of hangers-on who depend on the patronage of the monarch, and who undoubtedly, you go back, gave Princess Diana a very hard time.
And are these the same people that are probably going to do the same for William and Kate in that retrospect?
Well, what her relatives are worried about, and some of them have been interviewed on television, this is Kate Middleton's family, that you know she's going to be subjected to the same sort of treatment. And it was one thing for Diana, whose father was Earl Spencer and was an aristocrat. It's quite something for a girl of this background to handle these people. And she's admitted to having a bit of family nerves. But, you know, I would say the majority of the population are very much in favor of her. But that is something of a two-edged sword for Prince Charles, because they are so popular, this couple, that a majority of the country, in a recent poll, 64% wanted Charles to step aside so that King Willie, can be king with Queen Katie.
What makes intriguing is that is because, of course, their child would then be the successor, and it's going to be the successor anyway. I mean, their child will be after
William
or William.
At present, the constitution is about to be changed, I think, because under the Act of Settlement of 1701, which decreed that the monarch should be Protestant, it also decreed under the rules of primogeniture that the only the male heir would inherit, that a woman could not inherit. They're going to change that so that, I think they will anyway, if the firstborn was a girl of William and Kate, then she would be immediately in line for succession to the throne. What they may not, I doubt whether they'll change, is the stipulation that the monarch can't marry a Catholic. He can marry anybody else. He can marry an atheist. He can marry a revivalist. He can marry a.
And this goes way back. And this goes
way back in the Crusades part when they
did that.
That's right.
Yeah. And so.
And the Abbey, you see, just to put that into context, the Abbey is. Religion is at the heart of this, and it's the Church of England who are performing all of this. And it's. The church is known, the Abbey Church is known as a royal peculiar because it is a church of the Queen's without any interference from the clergy. But this goes back to the time of 1559 when the Act of Supremacy, it shifted control from Rome, where it had been a papal peculiar, to the royal peculiar. So, you know, here is this all of linked into occasion, and there's a dilemma here with Charles, because he is married to Camilla, who is a divorced woman. And, you know, this when he got married, it was in the registry office at Windsor Castle. And how he's going to get through a coronation, I'm not at all sure. What he wants to achieve is Camilla as queen. But here again, the marriage of of Kate and William is not going to help Camilla because, let me look at the poll figures. Who do you think would make the better queen, Camilla or Kate? Don't know.
Overwhelmingly, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, a big majority for this girl. So
right.
Their tactics are to Charles and Camilla's tactics are to, in their phrase, don't frighten the horses. And I hope the thing that just to lie low, Camilla is busy making a friend of Kate, and that when the time comes, Diana will be forgotten, and Camilla can slip in to be become the queen. So, you know, the constitution is to that extent is flexible, although it wasn't.
Well, the situation around what you just said kind of works a little bit about how your book, and again, we're talking with Spencer Carstairs, and you're the author of Someone to Watch Over Me, and you're a British insider here giving us the insight of, you know, the pulse in England and behind the scenes in the royal wedding between William and Kate. But what you just mentioned there with how Charles and Camilla and how they don't want to really rock the boat and things, but your book kind of uses that to go behind the scenes of what could happen with outside influences in order to make sure that things like you just mentioned with Charles and Camilla becoming king, queen, could actually kind of happen that way. And so you roll all those things up together.
Well, that's right. I mean, the threat in the book comes from a Stuart succession. The last Stuart was a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church, the Duke of York, who Prince Charles Edward, Bonnie Prince Charlie's brother. But I have invented a son of Charles Edward. There were plenty of sons who were illegitimate. There's a Prince Perinsky coming over for White Rose Day at the beginning of June, which is the birthday of the old pretender. And he's an illegitimate descendant of Bonnie Prince Charlie, but there are no accepted descendants. But I invented one, and
there was
a threat to Charles and Camilla. But oddly enough, in a strange way, it's going to come from his son and daughter, and not from a Stuart pretender.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So we have about 3 minutes left, and what I want to do is we got 12 days till, you know, what I'm kind of calling the wedding of the century because, it's been built up so
big.
Yeah,
it's a great thing.
So about 3 minutes left, what can we expect to see here in the last 12 days leading up to the wedding, which is on April the 29th? Is anything going to come out? Is stuff going behind the scenes that potentially could come out? You know, what kinds of things should we look for, or we might notice or might not notice that we should be, you know, that we can make aware, you know, be made aware of?
Well, there's a flurry of publicity of people cashing in any kind of memento or souvenir is going off the shelves. She's staying the last night quite close to where I am in the Goring Hotel, which is privately owned, and they're milking it, obviously, for all they're worth, with pictures of the suite where she's going to be staying the last night. And I think the main serious concern is we've had a number of parades and protest marches in the past few months, all of which have been overtaken by anarchists. And
mm-hmm.
when Charles and Camilla went to the theater the other day, very unwisely, you know, in a Rolls Royce, they were surrounded by these anarchists and were threatened and obviously quite seriously frightened. So, you know, the Metropolitan Police will be on top of this, but that must be a huge concern, security. But otherwise, there's I would say a huge amount of support for the girl and for the Prince William, who's a competent chap. He's a soldier. He's flying helicopters in an RAF rescue team. But not everyone is as enthusiastic about it as I'm suggesting. For example, some entrepreneurs come up with the idea of a royal wedding, a sick bag.
Ah.
Which is...
And elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, it's a sort of little sarcastic comment that if you're totally fed up with all of this razzmatazz, you can be sick in a sort of airline type sick bag
right.
And these
okay.
are so not everyone is. You know, I would say we have a product here. I don't know if it's sold in America called Marmite, and the advertising says you either love it or you hate it. And that's the way the opinion goes on this. You know, they either love all this ceremony or, frankly, they don't like it at all. I think
right.
It's not the spirit of the times. But they'll put on a show, you know. They'll put on a show and 2 billion people will watch it. And this girl, I mean, you have to give her credit. She must be feeling
she's
some nerves. And it's
quite, so far.
Yeah, she's handling it. She seems to be handling it well.
So we'll see. But I'll tell you what, Spencer, I want to thank you again for coming on. We're going to have you back. We know that you're going on, and I'll say holiday here, coming up, I believe, next week for a little while. And then you'll
yeah,
be
back. Yeah, I'm right in Namibia.
So when you come back, you know, we'd have you on again to kind of wrap things up, because I think you'll be back after the wedding. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, the wedding is... Friday the 29th of April, and I'm back about 10 days after that.
So what we'd like to do is kind of bring back, kind of see what's going on, and we'll work it out that way. So you enjoy your holiday, and we will stay in touch, and we will talk further.
Great. All right. Good talking to you.
All right. You have a good one, and enjoy yourself.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye for now. So, again, that is Spencer Carstairs, author of Someone to Watch Over Me, British insider. If you're listening here for the past 25 minutes, you know that he's got his hand on the pulse of exactly what's going on over there with the British citizens, the newspapers, the news sources, anything else that's going on, and exactly how people are going to react. And what that does is, you know, the biggest thing is Charles and Camilla being so secretive, which is why he wrote his book. Because you're talking about a possible third party and making sure that Charles and Camilla do end up getting the throne, because like you hear, 68% would rather have William and Kate, but that just, you know, couldn't go on in that type of, you know, environment. So we want to thank Spencer so much for coming on. It's been a blast to have him back, and we will have a nice, great weekend. We want to thank you all for joining us. I'm your host, John Robb, here on Suspense Radio. You guys all have a great day. Enjoy yourself, and we will see you soon.